For the March 25th Ventnor City Commission meeting, please rise for the flag salute. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. Lisa, can I have a roll call?
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman? Let the record reflect Mayor Holtzman is absent.
The Open Public Meetings Act announcement. Pursuant to the Open Public Meetings Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. Our first item tonight is we're going to go into an executive session. We have some consultants on the line that we want to free up, so we're going to go into that first. Lisa, can you read that for us?
Sure. The New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act permits the discussion of certain matters within an executive session as an exception to certain provisions of said law. The Ventnor City Board of Commissioners wishes to discuss certain matters which qualify as exceptions in executive session. No action binding upon the Board of Commissioners will be taken within executive session, and the discussion conducted in closed session will be disclosed to the public when legally permitted and when the public interest will no longer be served by keeping such matters confidential. The matters to be discussed are matters of ongoing litigation, a tax appeal matter.
Thank you, Lisa. Tim, can I have a motion to go into executive session?
Motion to enter executive session as described.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Commissioner, I should.
Who's abstaining?
Hold on 1 second, Jim.
Okay.
Commissioner, I should indicate that it is 5:37 and the matter to be discussed is Hanson House versus City of Ventnor.
Okay. So,
all right. We're out of executive session. I should indicate that the time is 6:15. We discussed two matters in executive session, both matters of ongoing litigation. One was a tax appeal, Hanson House versus the City of Ventnor. And we had a very, very brief discussion regarding the matter of Sandstock versus the City of Ventnor. That case involved a Latin beach festival that was supposed to happen back in 2013. No formal action will be taken tonight.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Our next item is department head reports. I know we have Ernie and Ed on tonight. Is anybody else doing that tonight, Maria? Just Ernie and Ed?
That's it. That's the end of it.
Okay. Ernie, why don't you jump in?
All right, let me unmute. Okay, I'm just unmuting myself. Good evening, all.
Good evening. Just introduce right. yourself, Ernie, just to make sure people are know who you are and what you do.
Hi, my name is Ernie Gratz. I'm the superintendent of water and wastewater. I basically run the water and wastewater program. We provide drinking water to your homes in Ventnor. We also take wastewater away via collection system and deliver that to the Atlantic County Utilities Authority. We want to get water to your home. We want to make sure it's good, it meets all standards. You have water for whatever you use. Need, and we want to be able to make sure that we get the wastewater out of there and deliver it to where it's got to go, to the treatment plant in Atlantic City.
Thanks, Ernie. Why don't you give your update?
Okay. First off, good evening, all.
Good evening.
I have this titled A Year of Challenges. And it's going to be kind of like a story, so I'll get to it. Water is so much part of our life, but generally we don't think about it. Everybody expects water to flow from the tap, and it's there and it's available at any point. At this point, I want to just say something about my staff. The staff that we have here at Works in Ventnor, they're really, really good at what they do. They all care. They really make sure that they're focused. And we do a really good job of delivering drinking water and also working on the wastewater side, getting it rid of from the homes. So just want to give them a shout out on that. One of the things we do on the drinking water end, we're going to go first with that. We work with the fire department. A water service system does two things. One, it provides drinking water to a people in a town. The other thing that not a lot of people think about is we provide drinking water for the supply for the fire department. We can't have a fire department without a water system. And the fire department needs the water to do what they do. Sticking with the fire department for a minute, one of the things we look for is to make sure that every fire hydrant in the city is available for use by them. And if by chance one of them is not working, we make sure that there's one very locally in the area so that it could be used if it needs to. Last thing you want to happen is have a structure fire and no working water. That's really bad. We have worked with the fire department to make sure that's the case. On that note, we have a hydrant replacement program. We've been, over the last years, we've been working with the fire department. We work together, make sure everything's working out there. The heights we've looked at, and we've gotten rid of all the old hydrants. They're called old quarries, and they're very old, and we replaced them all, except for we have three more. We get them done, and they're working. It's just that they need to be updated. They're 60 years old, so they're going to be out of there this summer. As far as hydrants on the island, we have some that need to be replaced. We're going to be working through that this summer, and we're going to continue our maintenance program on that. The other part is the drinking water system, and that's where we get our drinking water from. This is paramount. Every year, we have to go through vigorous water testing. I can tell you that the water meets all the standards for state and federal. And I wanted to go through a couple of examples so everybody has an idea what we test for. The first thing we do is on a weekly basis, we do testing for microbiology. We sample for something called coliform. Coliform is a soil organism. If we find that in the water, it's assumed the water has a problem at that point. And fortunately, we don't have that issue. We chlorinate as we should. We make sure the microbiology is non-existent because you want to have water that meets the standard so nobody gets sick. Another thing we test for during the year is we do a characterization of the water. It's basically the chemistry of the water, what makes up the water. Stuff like the hardness, the alkalinity, the pH, the temperature, the conductivity. This is all characteristic of the water. So we do that usually in January. We get it out of the way because we have to do it once a year. Another thing we typically test for is heavy metals. And again, I want to say that we don't have them. But we look for them just to make sure the water meets the standards for drinking water. This is part of the Safe Drinking Water Act, and it's done on an annual basis. Another one after that we do on a quarterly basis is called volatile organics. Volatile organics are things like unleaded fuel, diesel fuel, methylene chloride, stuff that if it gets in the ground, it can get into the drinking water. So on a regular basis, we have to test for that. So it's, again, it's not there. And then the last thing, I'll give you a little bit of background about this. This is the latest and greatest that the state has been pressing for the last 2-3 years. They're called perfluoroalkyl substances. It's a group of 10 to 12 compounds. And basically, I kind of characterize them. We live in a society right now that we use chemicals for everything. And in the course of making these modern conveniences and chemicals, well, unfortunately, we make some chemicals that really tend to persist in the environment. They have an allele chemistry. They have a carbon bond and a fluorine bond. When they bind, that is a very, very hard bond to break in nature. And because of that, it persists in the environment. And because it persists in the environment, if it gets into a water system, it's very hard to deal with and very hard to get rid of. That is a quarterly sample. We've done this testing for the last 3 years. I'm very happy to say we've never seen it. Has a lot to do, we're on a barrier island, and we're kind of separated from the world because of that, because of the body of water. We've been able to reduce that from the state of New Jersey to once a year, which is a great thing because it's a very expensive test that we had to do. So that's one thing that really was nice to get this year. Some things that these substances would be classified by, if you have leather boots and you want to waterproof them, well, that's one of those compounds. If you buy a car and you smell the new car smell, well, that's one of those carbon fluorine bond chemicals. At an airport, they have specialized fire retardants that they use for fighting fires on planes, loaded with carbon fluorine bonds. They just don't break down. And if that gets in the water, it becomes a horrendous kind of thing where it's a lot of money to get it out. And very fortunately, we have water that doesn't have it. Moving on, we have three water producing stations. We check daily, we check them daily. We check them to make sure they're functioning right, make sure the water quality is good. Last year, all the stations were modified because we had to update our chlorination system and we went to a pelletized system. Now, the system is great and it works very well. The only thing about it is it's a little bit more maintenance, and we've gotten to learn that over the year. So with that, we're moving to get that done. And disinfection has become a very important thing with the current situation we are in with COVID. And with that happening, disinfection is like part of our life now. So one of the things that I took to heart over the last year is that we had to have a good residual because everybody's thinking that way, and I didn't want any association with the drinking water with this virus. And even to the point you need chlorinated water to wash your hands. So it just comes to that. Last July, we put together a pamphlet like we have to do every year. It's called the CCR, Consumer Confidence Report. This is basically a report card. It's a regulated report that tells the status to our residents on what we have to do, how we're doing, and it's a good way of them reading about us and seeing what we're doing. This is always available at City Hall, the library, and Public Works. The last 6 months, water usage is up. If you look at the last 6 months, we've been at minimum 3 million gallons over normal. This is good. I attribute this to the real estate boom going on. The only thing is, it was a little tough. In the wintertime, we like to do maintenance, and it just makes it a little tougher. As you all know, we had Well 5 take a dip on us this winter. And with that coming out on us, it made us have to challenge us to make sure we had the water supply for firefighting and for drinking water purposes. Fortunately, we're fine to go through that. And I worked very closely with Chief Cahill on to make sure we always had a supply. Water distribution system. We're just like everybody in the United States. We have an old water system. Unfortunately, infrastructure is old, but we seem to be fortunate that we don't have, for any good reason, main breaks. We're very lucky as far as that's concerned.
Knock on wood, Ernie.
We have an 80-year-old water main on Atlantic Avenue. we've dug it up a couple times, put some valves in. That main, when you cut it open, it looks to be about 5 years old. So I completely attribute that to the fact that we have a water main and sand on an island, which is a great thing. During the course of the year, we had 5 main breaks of last year. 2 were 8-inch pipe, 1 was 6-inch pipe, and 2 were 4-inch pipe. We replaced 3 valves. We had 18 service leaks on our side in the street. We did 5 hydrants. Of that, 4 hydrants were done as part of our program, and 1 was hit by a car. Normally that hydrant number would be a lot higher, but with COVID and us doing shortened shifts over the summer, we did not get very many hydrants done. Growth of the system. It's amazing how the real estate market affects a water system. You can really tell who's here. A quick example of that is over the year, we had 72 homes where residents are doing work, and they worked on the service lines. That's extraordinary. Normally we see under 5 during the winter. Absolutely extraordinary. Big number. So that's notable. Let me finish up. I'm gonna jump to wastewater. Wastewater, we have a collection system. We do not have a treatment plant. It really consists of just transporting human waste to Atlantic City Utilities Authority. We do that via 5 pump stations. We have a very dedicated staff that really got it going on that. They really do a great job. And we're constantly opening up manholes, making sure they're clean. We had 4 laterals, and this is what comes out of a customer's home that transports the waste into the street that moves through pump stations to the ACUA. So we had 4 breaks, which is not very money for the course of a year. And that's my report. And I want to say my staff, they do an awesome job because I couldn't do mine without theirs. Really, really, we really have some dedicated people here and they do a good job. Thank you.
And I agree with you, Ernie. Thank you. Good report. I had to go back to my high school chemistry a little bit there. I had to remember some of those compounds. But thank you. And again, I'll say that with the staff. They did a good job with dealing with short shifts and going through, you know, COVID as we had to and working through that. We had guys out. We had out for extended times and whatever. But everybody stepped up and did what they had to do. That's much, much appreciated by, I know the mayor and Commissioner Kriebel, and I appreciate that. So, and the work you do is great as well. We would be lost without you. Certainly I would. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Ed?
Nice job, Ernie. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners. I have 2 reports to present. One is just a public works update, and it's mainly just a recount of what we do. Public Works, which is the buildings and grounds, streets and roads, traffic, waste, trash, and vehicle maintenance. I did submit it to mayor and commissioners. I'll try to do it as briefly as I can. Public Works, we maintain about 30 miles of roadway. We plow, sweep, take care of potholes, things like that. We clean and maintain approximately 500 storm drains and associated piping and outfall. We operate and maintain 5 stormwater pump stations. We clean and rake the beach. We have 2 beach rakes that we do the oceanfront, one north of the pier and one south of the pier during the summer. We maintain the flags and the banners on the boardwalk and street. We install and maintain the holiday decorations. We mow our public grounds and our ball fields. We maintain the public restrooms at Titus Field, the tennis courts, the community building, the library, and the fishing pier. We collect trash and recycling from the beach during the summer, from the boardwalk, the streets, and public buildings and grounds all year long. We provide support for special events. We maintain the boardwalk, that's the beach entrances, the decking, the railing, the ramps, and we repair as necessary. We maintain the fishing pier. We clean the beach. We work on traffic signs. We replace the traffic signs that we can. We maintain the traffic signals throughout Ventnor. We support the Ventnor's farmers market. We maintain the city vehicles. That's the oil changes, the brakes, changing tires, things like that, as well as maintaining our public works equipment. We collect on average 300 TVs a year. We maintain approximately 300 parking meters throughout the city, and we have upgraded about 100 of those parking meters the past year to the new M5 meters. That's kind of an overview of the public works department. I also have a report for capital projects. So this would be on the engineering side. These are the projects that were completed, contracts that were completed in 2020. So we constructed a new sanitary sewer system on Kingsley Drive, along with a drainage system improvements on Kingsley and Wellington and Lafayette Avenue. That project had a construction cost of $450,000. We completed the Winchester Avenue drainage project that was at the intersection of Washington Avenue and Winchester, and also at New Haven and Winchester. That construction cost was $450,000 as well. We completed drainage improvements at Marshall Avenue and Oxford Avenue. That had a construction cost of $220,000. We completed the library window replacement at a construction cost of $400,000. That was a replacement of 80 windows, both double hung and casement windows. And we installed a new entry door with an automatic opening at the rear of the building. We completed the construction of the new fishing pier restroom and office at a cost of about $500,000. We added some equipment to our playgrounds last year. We completed the reconstruction of Newport Avenue from Monmouth Avenue to the bay. That was a municipal aid grant. The construction cost was $241,000. We completed the Newport Avenue municipal parking lot reconstruction, and that cost was $190,000. We completed the reconstruction of Hampshire Drive, which included a sanitary sewer main replacement, a storm sewer main replacement, and then curb, gutter, and new paving. That cost was about $500,000. We completed the Dorset Avenue sanitary sewer main replacement between Calvert and Monmouth Avenue. That construction cost was $600,000. We completed the accessible corner ramp and gutter, concrete gutter replacement project in the Heights. That was on several streets that the gas company will have to repave because of their renewal project, service renewal project. We wanted to get our accessible ramps completed and gutters replaced prior to their paving. That had a construction cost of $210,000. The gas company will be scheduled within the next month, or tentatively scheduled within the next month, to begin paving out there on those streets. We replaced the Harvard Avenue storm drain outfall at a construction cost of $30,000. And we worked with the state and the Army Corps on the Army Corps beach replenishment project. That beach fill operation is complete. The 550,000 cubic yards of sand was placed on our beach. There's still some work remaining to be done, some of which will be pushed off until the fall. Total cost share for Ventnor is $790,000. Projects that are ongoing that will be completed in 2021. The reconstruction of Kingsley Drive. So that project has started working right now with replacing concrete curb and gutter. Probably another month, we'll see the paving completed out there. the reconstruction of Dorset Avenue from Wellington to Burke. That's a state aid grant. That project is on hold right now until the Wellington Avenue ACUA force main work is complete, which we're watching closely. It looks like that will be complete. The paving will be complete this evening, and we'll have that road open between Wellington Avenue, between Dorset and Little Rock, should be open to traffic sometime this evening, close to 9 o'clock, I would say. Once that's open, traffic's back on Wellington, then we will look to begin construction on Dorset Avenue between Wellington and Burke Avenue. That contract amount is $377,000. Reconstruction of Wellington Avenue from Swarthmore Avenue to Lafayette Avenue. That is also a NJDOT municipal aid grant. That project has started. Concrete work is complete. Guardrails were just installed, and the paving is scheduled for the first full week of April. So April 5th, we're going to have to close that road down for the 2-day operation, but we'll have that paved that week. Drainage improvements and concrete gutter replacement on the 900 block of Harvard, 300 block of Cambridge, and a unit block of North Cornwall is under engineering design right now, and we anticipate a May bid date. Same with the Richards Avenue and Troy Avenue gutter replacement project. We have three sewer main projects on Baltimore Avenue, Lafayette Avenue, and Wyoming Avenue that are out to bid currently. We'll be receiving bids next week for that, and then look to award it at the first meeting in April. We are working on securing prices to power wash and clean the library building. I have on here March of 21, but obviously we're probably looking at awarding that contract sometime in April and having it completed prior to Memorial Day. Also in calendar year 2020, we purchased the following equipment. We purchased a jet and vacuum truck for the Water and Sewer Department and also for storm drain maintenance. It was delivered in May of 2020, cost $370,000. And you'll see it's the big machine with the reel on the back, the hose reel on the back. And it's a key part of us maintaining our sewer and storm sewer system. We also purchased a new water meter van that was delivered in April 2020 at a cost of $31,000. We purchased a new beach rake to replace a 2004 beach rake for the front beach. That was delivered last May, so we added on the beach this past summer. That cost was $48,000. We also purchased a smaller beach rake to help us do the back beaches once we gain access to those beaches with the Army Corps' help. That cost was $25,000. We purchased a steam pressure washer delivered in November at a cost of $3,800. A new street sweeper delivered in February of 2021 at a cost of $207,000, which has been out on the street now for over a month. And I'm happy to report has not broken down once, knock on wood. So that's a
well, that was the problem with the last one. It would go 3 weeks and the hydraulics would blow. So
that's right. So we're off to a good start on that, and then a tire machine. So very briefly, that's the projects that we're working on or that are underway right now. We have a whole list of projects that we will begin for 2021, but I figured this was enough for tonight.
And I think it is a lot, but and I think most of the people listening, all they heard was Wellington Avenue reopening up.
So. We had to slip that in. I was told Rick Covey was going to call in to report that, but it got delayed a little bit, so I think he held off.
They had a little issue with the paver, so hopefully that.
That's great news.
Yes,
and very impressive list. I got to say, thanks for all you do. It's a lot of a lot of balls in the air there.
Thank you. We have, as Ernie said, and everybody said, all the department has, we have a good team, and the guys here at Public Works take their job very serious and very passionate about their work. And it shows in their efforts that you see out on the street. And of course, the capital stuff, that's you guys, having the pushing the bond, the capital bond improvement ordinances, and pushing to get the work done. So, wouldn't happen without you guys.
Okay, thanks, Ed. And the same with the sewer, the Public Works guys. They really went through a year from hell, but really got through it, worked together, covered people when they had to. And I think the guys have done a nice job, coming out of this. And this is our business, and we're coming into our busy season. So, the guys are out getting the beach accesses ready and moving through those projects and getting ready for the summer. So thanks, Ed. Appreciate it for the work you and your guys do. Go ahead, Tim.
One more comment to Ed. Thank you. I think I saw something that the ACUA will be helping us with a cleanup at the Ventnor West on the 5th, I think it was. Is that?
That is correct. The week of April 5th, they'll be out there with us, but they're bringing the dumpsters. They're bringing a couple key pieces of equipment. We're going to bring the loader and what we can skid steer to help, but we're going to work on trying to get rid of some of that concrete debris.
And at no charge to the city, right there.
That is correct.
So awesome.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good stuff.
Good effort there. All right. With that, I don't think we have any capital discussion, do we, Maria?
We just kind of
did, right?
Yeah. Right.
I was adding up. We're in the middle.
Yeah.
As we went.
I started and I Ernie's chemistry had my brain done for a little bit, so I had to skip on that. So that's it for our pre-stuff kind of workshop with our department heads. The next section is really our workshop session, where we'll go through the items on the agenda, discuss them prior to taking action on them in the formal session of our meeting. So the next items up are the minutes. I was remiss at the start of our meeting. We lost another one of our Ventnor family recently in Pete Salata. Pete is well known in our community. He taught many of the kids that went through the school system here in Atlantic City and in Ventnor as a gym teacher. He was big with ice hockey with former Commissioner Macagnano. Lorraine is on our planning board. So their family has given a lot to our community. And if I didn't mention Pete's passing, I would be remiss. And just ask for just a moment or two for people to think about him for a second, and Lorraine and the family. We're losing one of Ventnor's really, really good people. So I'll ask for a moment of silence. Thank you. Moving on, the items that we'll discuss in our workshop, we have minutes to approve from our February 25th and March 11th regular meetings. We have no introduction of any ordinances. We have no adoption of any ordinances. That's a rarity. We have resolutions that we will adopt by consent, resolutions 2021-109 through 124. The first is 2021-109. Resolution of the City of Ventnor memorializing the denial of revocable license for 6306 Atlantic Avenue, Block 25, Lot 6, and refunding the escrow payment to John Riley and Lori Carrick. That's first resolution we'll go through. Do we have any discussion on that, Ed?
We may, Commissioner. I spoke with Jack Riley earlier today. He asked me to send him the link for the meeting.
I see that there's a Lori Carrick on here now.
So that would be, so they may want to talk maybe at the end of this workshop.
Yeah, that's when we'll do that part of it.
Okay.
Before we vote on anything. And Ed, you just reminded me, I appreciate that Dr. Bagnell just passed away last evening. So that's another one of our, certainly former mayor's brother and their family has taken a bit of a hit in the last year or so. So our thoughts go out to the Bagnell family as well. Thanks, Ed, for bringing that. I wasn't aware of that. That's very sad news. Thank you. The second resolution, is Resolution 110. Resolution City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, awarding contract for TASER equipment for the police department in the amount of $62,998.67 to Axon Enterprises. Chief Cahill, you guys don't need tasers over there? You're good?
No, we're all good on the taser right. Category. No, we're good.
Good. Anything on this, Tim?
It's something that, you know, I think that we've all discussed that we need. There is going to be recurring expenses as they age out, but there'll be an officer trained on every patrol, every
right. Ship. Good. Is there enough for each officer to carry one while he's on duty or no?
I don't believe so at this point, but I can
find out. Might be a goal to push towards.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's definitely some training involved. You go to a different hand, having two devices like that on you. So there's a.
I never thought of that.
There's a lot that goes into it. And there's but I believe it's at this point, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's just that there's one on every shift available.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Resolutions 111. Let's see, submit a grant application to execute a grant agreement with the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation for National Coastal Resilience Fund. Tim, I think that's you as well. That's for Ventnor West, right?
That's right. That's one of the a group of grants that we're going towards, and Jim Rotella is doing a great job keeping everybody up to date on that. We also, I believe, we're in the process of getting some monarch butterfly kits that could be used for that area if we get to that point. That's something.
Okay. All right.
Could be part of that part.
Cool. All right. 112 is a resolution to award a contractor, William McLeese Architecture, for design services for alterations to the existing locker room and break area for the police department. Mm-hmm. It's kind of self-explanatory. I haven't been in there, but I guess I was originally. When I first got in office. I haven't seen it in a while. Could use an update.
Yeah, it's just something that's needed for having, you know, both males and females break room.
Ah, right. Gotcha. Understood. Next one is 113 is a tax abatement, and the next few are tax abatements. This one is for Lot 27, Lot 1402, and it's 116 South Stratford. The next one, Resolution 114, is for Block 92, Lot 107. Also known as 28 North Baton Rouge Avenue. 115 is another tax abatement for Block 92, Lot 1.08. So the one above was not 28, it's 2B North Baton Rouge Avenue. And Resolution 115 is 2A North Baton Rouge Avenue. And then another tax abatement is Resolution 117, Block 18, Lot 11.02, known as 5900 Boardwalk. And 117 is another tax abatement. Block 215, Lot 5.01, known as 312 North Dudley Avenue. And 118 is a tax abatement for Block 215, Lot 5.02, known as 310 North Dudley. 119 is a tax abatement for Block 180, Lot 17, known as 112B North Newark. And looks like the last one is 120, which is a tax abatement continuation agreement for Block 92, Lot 1.04, known as 3B North Marion Avenue. That does it for tax abatements. That's the most we've done in one meeting.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
Hence the construction that's going on through the town in the last year.
Good point.
That's what it is. Because I think they have 30 or 60 days post CO to get their tax abatement filed with Bill's office. Resolution 2021-121 is authorizing temporary appointment to John Connor as Assistant Supervisor of Public Works. This will take John from just really in sewer and water and moving him as a supervisor across the board to help both Ernie and Ed in public works in general. Really relying on John, and if people in the public don't know who I'm talking about, it's Snake. Everybody knows him as Snake. His skills in managing projects and figuring out how to manage and deal with breaks quickly in both our sewer and water and dealing with the streets is invaluable. And Ed and I and Ernie, I think, agrees as well that he will do just as good a job over both departments as he will, as he has done for 40 plus years in the sewer and water department. So any question, anything I missed, Ed or Bernie?
No, Commissioner, I think you covered it. John's been a supervisor in the water and sewer department, and this move to have him as an assistant supervisor over both the water and sewer and public works is I think well deserved. And as you said, John does have the experience. I think he has 41 years working for the City of Ventnor Public Works Department. I know he's excited and looking forward to the opportunity, and we are as well. I think it's a good move for the department.
Good, thanks. You have any questions, Tim?
No. He's every time I've interacted with him on that site, it's always been really clear and concise. So good luck to him.
Thanks. All right, staying in Public Works, 122. Authorizing designating John Sullivan as foreman in the Ventnor City Public Works Department in accordance with the Teamster Public Works contract. Not quite as significant a move, but Sully, John does a great job coordinating guys, maintaining our buildings, and we needed that foreman position. We didn't really have it. He did the work. He just wasn't in that slot. That's my understanding, right, Ed and Maria?
That is correct, Commissioner. He has been, he actually started in that position under Dave Smith as acting out of title.
Right.
And I continued him in that position when I took over 3 years ago. He has grown and he has demonstrated that that he deserves to become the foreman, take that next step. He's taken on more responsibility and he really has become my right hand in the public works operation.
Good. Thank you. Next, resolution 2021-123 is City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, awarding William McLeese Architecture to prepare conceptual design drawings for the fishing pier gate modifications in the amount of $7,200. That's the second gate, correct, Tim?
Correct.
Yeah, we want to get rid of that. We want to kind of bring something in line with what was done on the first gate. It's going to be different, but in that kind of.
Well, it also needs, the second gate needs to be replaced.
I think it's got a spot weld holding it in place after that last windstorm.
If it doesn't get replaced, it's not going to make it, and we just thought, yes, that it's an opportunity to make it a little more secure, self-closing doors and in and out. I'll put in my 2 cents. When it comes to the layout, I think it can work in a way with the kiosk that we've talked about. That makes it make sense out there.
Okay, good. I like the idea that we were updating it and make it a little more attractive instead of the prison that it looks like.
Right now. It doesn't need to look like a Area 51, gate.
Agreed.
It can be an attractive part of the landmark that it is.
Good. All right. Last resolution is 124. Is authorized a sale and issuance of a third and final plenary retail consumption license to serve alcoholic beverage via public sale. So we have one left. We're trying to catch the end of this boom we're seeing right now in our community, and I think it's a we've discussed it at our last meeting, and I think this is a good time to put it out. I think we're looking at getting it out as quick as possible. Lisa had a tentative schedule that she went over briefly with me to get it the bids received by May 6th. Was that the correct date, Lisa?
Yes, sir.
there's a whole list of things that has to happen. First, has to go out and be noticed in the newspaper and other publications twice before it can, the bids can be received. And then prior to the bid being received, the applicants have to send in a pre-certification package, right, Lisa?
Yes, that's correct.
7 days prior to May 6th. So the end of April, they'll be submitting those items. So that's something that, that we would like to get out. And I think the number we've put out there is we would have a minimum bid of $115,000. Okay. The last two went for low 70s and low 90s. So we're jumping this one up a little bit. We think it's, you know, it's our last one. And that was a number we thought we could get for it. So hopefully it goes a little higher. You know, you never know. After that, we'll approve bills and payroll.
Excuse me, Mr. We just, yes. We have one resolution, which would be 2021-125, and that is with regards to the elevator.
Yes, thank you. So we had a little bit of a blip in our elevator inspection services. We had a shared services agreement with the City of Atlantic City. They've had some issues with maintaining their own elevator inspections. I think one gentleman retired and another one is out on disability. So they have no inspectors. So this allows us to pull out of that shared services agreement early. And actually we're not gonna pay them for this year, correct? We were supposed to send them a check. We're not gonna do that. And we're gonna petition the DCA to come back in and do the inspections on our elevators. Did I cover that?
Yes, thank you.
Please.
Yeah. And if you would like, we'll add that to the consent agenda as resolution 125.
Please do. You okay with that, Commissioner Kriebel? Like I said, approve of bills and payroll and discussion items. Let's see. Somewhere. Outdoor dining is the first item that we have to discuss. Last year, resolutions 203 was adopted to permit outdoor dining. Resolution had a begin date of June 15th, an expiration date of 12/31/20. We have a resolution that Lisa has drafted. If we want to put it on tonight's agenda, we just need a start date and an end date if we want to do that again. And I think it was a huge success for our community. It certainly helped our businesses, our restaurant businesses, and I think we should support it again. I think having outdoor dining is something that people, it was a release during COVID. You could go out, you could be outside. And I think that needs to continue even once we get out of this pandemic. I really enjoyed seeing people outside. I do think that, and Tim, I'll ask you this, is that we should put some sort of hold harmless on the city for the city that the businesses will have to do, maybe get some sort of permit. Not expensive. I don't want to put any burden on anybody, but you know, that they would have to hold the city harmless for one and pay a fee for that area. I think Atlantic City does it by the square footage. I don't know that I would go that detailed. I would rather just do it as a flat fee. Is that something you think we should do, Tim?
What is that for, Commissioner?
For the outdoor dining, when they're putting dining on our space, and they're putting it in the right of way on the sidewalk, we've allowed it over the years, and we've never really had anything official, other than resolutions saying in the last 2 years last year that they could do it. What I would like to have done put in place is something that where we get protected with a hold harmless agreement, and two, that there's an application made with a nominal fee. $100 application fee through Lisa's office that shows, all right, I'm going to be using this space out in front of my property. And here's a sketch of it. It can be on an aerial thing. It doesn't have to be a detailed plan. And then the fee is this, and show us you have insurance coverage for that area.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all three of those ideas are very good ideas.
Okay.
I think it also gives it a chance for Lisa to sort of reinforce what the ordinance is. That's the start dates,
yep.
Finish dates. And I agree. I don't think it should be expensive. I think it's a matter of making it a point of punctuating that this is something that you're taking, we're taking responsibility on, you're ensuring it, and and that you're holding the city harmless if something happens. Because there was instances of creep onto other areas where they weren't allowed in other places, but
now and I'm open to allowing it to go in front of other businesses as long as they don't as long as they have an agreement with that property owner.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's part of, I don't think everybody is comfortable yet dining indoors, and a lot of these businesses are going to rely on having that outdoor dining option.
Yeah, so. Agreed. Now, if it's on their own property, that's fine. They don't, because we don't own the property. If it's their own land, like Annette's, that's in her parking lot.
Right.
Now, if she's talked about doing that permanently, she should probably come in for a site plan to show how that's going to happen. Maybe it's just a modification as a seasonal seating area. But she handled that very well last year. I think that was well done with the water filled barricades. So I think we can we pass this resolution, or should we wait a meeting until we get an ordinance set up to initiate the fee and the hold harmless?
I think we should probably wait for the ordinance.
Okay.
All right.
And, you okay and, with that, Lisa? Is that shouldn't hold anybody up?
I mean,
we still got a little time.
Right. In other words, we can certainly have that on in April and get it done in April. So I don't know how much outdoor dining is going to occur in April.
Well, I ate outside at Water Dogs today, so.
I know a couple restaurants were talking about April. I don't know if they'll go through with it, but I just heard some of the dialogue.
Yeah.
We will get on that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. The second one is the letter from the Red Room, Maria and Jack Gatta. I have a letter in here somewhere. Yeah, there it is. They're requesting that we do the same Monmouth Avenue allowance that we did last year, closing down Monmouth Avenue, that quarter of the block there, for them to put up the tent, just what they did last year. Again, I thought this was a good opportunity for them. They have a very limited indoor space in their restaurant. And if they have to go at 50% is all they're allowed as of last week, that's still not enough to really keep them moving forward. So Tim, I know we spoke to Chief Biaggi and Chief Cahill, or at least I hope you spoke to both of them with regard to this and the issues that it creates from traffic and emergency services standpoint. Are we still okay with this?
If Chief Cahill's still on here, he can, I wouldn't speak for either one of them. I know we had some, I know Chief Biaggi has concerns that the rest of the neighborhood gets a chance to weigh in on how the inconvenience factor that it takes. It was done with in the past, and the and so I think we got to consider the amount of time that it's done. I think it was done for quite a while, and in the off season after the season was over. To my knowledge, it was mostly empty during the week, but it was still blocked off. And so I think we have to look at the dates.
So let me ask you a question. And I've sent you pictures of sites that I've walked through Philadelphia where they close down streets for, you know, Saturday and Sunday. They open them back up at night after the restaurant would close, and they would close them back down on just Saturday and Sunday. If we don't have to use the concrete barricades at Monmouth Avenue, if we could use something different, the water-filled ones, say, that can be removed, but the tent is the issue.
Right.
You know, if they just put it up on, you know, maybe the heat of the summer that the tent is up, you know, that's a hard one with the tent. The ones in Philly that I saw did not have a tent.
Yeah, so I think that's part of the issue. I mean, as long as everything is in compliance as a business, as a restaurant, right, indoors and outdoors,
we could be open to it again.
I think we have to do it with all the other hold harmless things that you mentioned.
Yep, absolutely. Well, they did that anyway. They did that in for that one street anyway. So
right.
But I agree. We have some hurdles to get over there. Let's maybe sit down with the chiefs, fire and police department, and maybe go over some different ways to do it that can make it better, and some cutoff dates on it. You're right. After the season, you know, some of the residents in the area, it's an inconvenience.
It seems like overkill to have it all day, Monday through Thursday, and it was empty virtually, and then in the off season after Labor Day.
But putting the tent up is the issue.
Right.
Getting that tent up and taking it down every Monday morning or something is would be problematic. So we have to talk about it. I'm willing to try and at least discuss it further and see where we can go.
Okay.
All right. What's the next one? Special traffic regulation, loading zones for outdoor dining. Last year we passed 2020. Tonight we have 2021 or 121 of 21. It's tongue twisters here. Where's Beth when you need her?
This is related to what you were just talking about, but it's not just that property. It's three.
Right. This is all of them. Areas. Yeah. This is the other ones that we allowed. So I think that's what we talked about, allowing the timing of it, and also the issuance of a permit of some sort and a hold harmless agreement.
So I think Tim can correct me if I'm wrong. I think this resolution still stands because the end date is fairly open with a 30 days after the governor allowed 100% dining. If you want to change the time period that you allowed for something like this, contingent on, you know, restaurants meeting all their whatever requirements, you would do another resolution with set dates.
I think for now, do you think we're okay just keeping it tied to the governor's state of emergency, or?
I absolutely think you should tie it to the state of emergency. Then if there comes a point in time where you ever want to make it shorter than that, you can put it on the agenda and make it shorter.
All right.
And it's a resolution, so we can do it in one meeting. Okay. Do we have to do anything tonight, Ray or Lisa?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We're going to pull the electronic smoking device establishments. I spoke to both Chief Biaggi, and I just briefly discussed it with you, Tim McGuire, that anything we would do would be just superficial. So we'll let the state regulate that like they are.
Leave all that alone. We'll just pull that until anyone ever wants to bring it up again.
Yep. Thank you. Potential sale of public property. This is 4803 Ventnor Avenue. It's down near Jackson Avenue. It's been, the site's clean now. It's a vacant lot. I think we should get it appraised and put it up for sale.
That's the site that's between two apartment buildings, correct?
Yes. Yep. You okay with getting the process? We get it appraised and then we put it out to bid, so we know what, we don't put out what we appraised it at. We just know that for us, so we know we can take enough money in there. Or do we set a minimum bid on that, Tim?
You can always set a minimum bid, absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's get it appraised.
The minimum bid would have to be what it appraises out.
Correct.
Because you're only allowed to sell property at fair market value.
Exactly. So let's get that appraised and get it out to a bid process.
It's not no use to the city really at that.
Nope.
It's in that location.
It's mid block there.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's all I have for discussion. Move on to the public portion. For just items that we spoke about in the workshop session. So Jim, if you could open it up to the public. See, there's three comments in the chat.
Yeah, Tim Kreisch would like to speak. Tim, okay. Like to unmute yourself.
There, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I certainly support whatever you do to help the businesses, the restaurants with the outdoor seating. But I was instrumental in bringing the outdoor seating to Ventnor and took a lot of heat from it. And one of the things that I regret not doing back then was making the restaurant owners do something to add to the aesthetics of it, either potted plants or stanchions with the braided ropes to set off the seating area. There's some restaurants that do that. I think it adds a lot of class to the sidewalk and to the restaurant. And that may be, and it's cheap, doesn't cost a lot of money, and that it would be a good thing to add to that, either resolution or ordinance requiring the restaurants to do that.
Okay, I like that idea.
All right, that's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, John Riley would like to speak. Mr. Riley, would you like to unmute yourself?
Mr. Riley, or is it Lori?
All right, thank you. Yeah, thank you, members of the commission. My name is Jack Riley, legally known as John Riley. My wife and I, my wife Lori Carrick and I, purchased the property at 6306 Atlantic September 29 of 20 and moved in. And we look forward to spending many years here. Among the things we wanted to do was to put a fence around the property, ostensibly and principally to protect our 2.5-year-old granddaughter and hopefully, God willing, some other grandchildren that may be coming that have not yet surfaced. So when I got the survey shortly after we settled, I realized to my chagrin that we owned less than I thought, since it's a 4-foot setback on Portland and a 5-foot setback on Atlantic from the sidewalk. I thought that was an anomaly and a unique circumstance. And I did so by looking down Portland and seeing a bunch of people who had planter island steps and so forth in that 4-foot area. And I thought their off properties all went to the sidewalk. And I think parenthetically, a couple of them told me that they thought so as well. I don't think that's the case after having spoken recently with Ed Stinson, who's been very informative to me over the last week or so. But in any event, I went over to the building and went to the construction office with my survey. I said, look, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to put it on the edge. And I was told, well, you have to go get an application for revocable license. Obviously, that's what we did. We filled it out. We got the additional survey and filled it out, putting down that the reason for hardship was the property was situated in such a way that to try to put a fence on the property line would be ill-advised, given the fact that the landscape beds stick out 3 to 4 feet, 2 to 3 feet, 3 to 4 in some instances. It would leave a situation where a fence would be in the middle of the lawn and only leave about 2 or so feet between the fence and thorn bushes in some fashion for our granddaughter. So it was on that basis that we submitted it on November 19 and hoped that it would be approved, sort of expected it, given the fact that there were others that I thought had other things on that right away, so to speak. A couple of weeks ago, Ed was kind enough to let us know that it was denied and it intended to be denied, because the decision had been made that it did not constitute, in the city's mind, a hardship. Obviously, that's something I guess we can agree to disagree on. We think it does, and we think it's important for us, for the security of our grandchild and others that may come along, and for their unique situation involving our property. As I said, Ed's been very helpful in educating me as to setbacks and so forth. But nonetheless, my wife and I still firmly believe that it is a hardship as it applies to us. But also, I wanted to bring, after talking to Ed, we had supplied a photo of what a former owner had here. And that was a fairly substantial hedge running around the entire property on the sidewalk itself, which would be on the right of way and on the area where we would propose to put the fence. In speaking to Ed, looking now down at various things on Portland and other areas, I can see that there are a bunch of things that can be done in that right of way, apparently almost as a matter of right. For instance, there's a some paver blocks that are foot tall and, you know, form a landscape bed that goes to the sidewalk, as well as steps leading from houses that go on to the right of way. And also, apparently, under vegetation, hedges can be on the right of way at the edge of the sidewalk. And here's the problem I have, separate and apart from the decision as to whether it's the threshold decision as to whether it's a hardship. And that is that it seems to me that the application of the standard as it applies to a fence is somewhat arbitrary and capricious when apparently, as a matter of right, you could put a hedge in that's 30 inches, according to what I've been told. Although I saw somewhere in the ordinance that it said if you put a hedge in, it's going to be 30 to 36 inches high. But be that as it may, we'd certainly be willing to put in a fence that was 30 inches high, which seems to me, given the fact that it's in conformance with the openings that are required for a fence, more than 50% is open, and the height is at a level, in this case, I would say we would be willing to go to 30 inches. We had to propose 36, which is under the 4 feet that you can go. But it would certainly, it seems to me, be less obtrusive and less of a site problem to have a fence with openings as opposed to a dense hedge. So the application, as I understand it, is, well, fences become structures and structures get you into this maelstrom where you have to apply and you have to get to a hardship, whereas hedges are vegetation and you can put them in. That's not a problem. But again, it seems to me it's arbitrary and capricious to say a hedge, which is denser, thicker, more obstructive of sight lines, would be, somehow better than putting a fence in that it's appropriately in conformance with the requirements of the ordinance. So for the two reasons I just set forth, I think that, you know, we would hope that it would not be the decision. If it is, then obviously we'll, you know, have to accept it and move on, but it's certainly not what we would have wanted. So I appreciate your time and I appreciate your consideration.
Well, thanks, Mr. Riley. We looked at the proposal, the request, and our police chief had some concerns with the fencing being out that far. I would actually look to amend our ordinance that would allow landscaping in that site triangle. The issue that was raised is site visibility there. With cars coming in either direction, people being able to see, pulling out and whatever. That's what the concern is. It was a safety concern, whether or not that falls to the hardship level that you described. That may be the official reason that it doesn't meet this hardship. And I think some of the discussions that we had at last month's meeting, when it was presented to us in our discussion portion, was that, you know, what's causing this is your landscaping up against the house, not something that the city has done to create this. It's our right of way. It's at a corner of one of the most heavily traveled streets in the city, Atlantic Avenue, where no one else has anything encroaching that into that area down Atlantic Avenue. Yes, they do on Portland. I completely agree. There is a fencing across the street from you on the opposite corner of Portland and Atlantic, but that is their property line. The sidewalk is deeper there on that side. I actually years ago worked with the city engineer on that subdivision, and that's their property line where their fence line is. So the comparison from that aspect is a little different. And the concern, I guess, is if, as you look down Atlantic Avenue, there are no encroachments into that right of way from property lines with structures. Yes, there's landscaping. And the safety concern I have with the hedgerow is that shouldn't be permitted in the right of way in a site triangle. Maybe landscaping and other things in the right of way, but just not in a site triangle. So there's where our concerns are. I'm willing, and I'll defer to Commissioner Kriebel to pull that resolution tonight, denying it, and look at further discussions and look at other options. Because what you guys have done with the property has been amazing. It looks great, and welcome to Ventnor. I'm sorry, your first interaction with us is something right now, that is not pleasant.
Commissioner, what would happen if I put a glass fence? Like, I'm willing to do anything. So it's 100% see-through. You know what I mean? Like you would do.
I think if we can, let's. I wouldn't mind sitting down and talking with maybe our one of our police captains, Captain Fushner, talk to him because he's kind of deals with our traffic a lot. Tim, is that correct?
He does. Their plate's kind of full right now, but he and the chief, I think, would weigh in on it. I think it also personally, I think it also speaks to the character of Atlantic Avenue and that there are no other. That you would then be setting a precedent that would allow fences down the entire stretch of Atlantic Avenue, and
that's my concern as well. And we haven't done that. There are planters out there, yes, but I don't believe there's fencing that I'm aware of. Actually had a gentleman come on Ventnor Avenue and ask for a variance to put a fence out there, and that was denied at the planning board level,
right.
Around a pool. We had to pull it back because it was too high.
But that's secondary to the safety. I mean, I agree with you. I think if the ordinance requires any visual obstacle that interrupts that site triangle, whether it's a hedge or a fence, I don't think it matters. But I'm willing to have them talk again and really, you know, dig in to see if there's any other alternatives that seem to make sense.
So Lisa, why don't we at least do this? Let's pull resolution. Is that 109? Is that the first one?
109. Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's pull that, and we'll set up some time to further discuss it, if that's okay. And then we'll John and Lori, if you could reach out to either Lisa or Patty, our secretary, and just look for some times where we can meet. Are you guys down here full time?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, this is our home.
Okay. So we'll set something up where we can, even on a weekend, like I can roll over, take a look at it, talk to you, and then
terrific.
Maybe set something up officially with PD and talk to those guys. And then probably, because Tim and I can't meet together with any of you, so we could have a secondary meeting with Tim and the police department to get his input on it too.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it.
All right. So we'll pull that for tonight. You guys have a great night.
All right. Thank you. You too. You as well. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Anybody else in the public portion have any comments?
Anybody else from the public wishes to speak on any of the items that were discussed or are going to be voted on? Please make yourself known within Zoom by raising your hand or by making notice in the chat, and you'll be recognized. No one.
Okay. Motion to close public portion.
Motion to close public portion. Second motion.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And also a motion to go into the regular meeting, Tim.
Motion to go into the regular meeting.
A second. All in favor? Aye. Okay. The first item on our agenda is the approval of minutes. The February 25th, 2021 regular and then March 11th, 2021 regular meeting. Need a motion to approve those minutes.
Motion to approve minutes as described.
I second. Roll call, Lisa.
Mr. Kriebel?
Yes.
Mr. Landgraf?
Yes. We have no ordinance introductions. We have no public hearings on ordinances. So we will, and no adoption of ordinances. So we'll go to resolutions and we'll start that with the on the consent agenda for resolutions 2021-110 through 2021-125. Do I have that correct, Lisa?
That's correct.
Okay. Need a motion to approve those resolutions by consent?
Motion to approve resolutions by consent as described.
Second. Roll call, Lisa.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes. Al, could you read our bills and payroll for the meeting, please?
Yes, for the bill list for this period is $2,240,422.23. And the payroll for this period is $651,723.70.
Okay, I need a motion to approve bills and payroll as stated by our CFO.
Motion to approve bills and payroll.
My second. Roll call, Lisa.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes. We have an announcements or public safety report, Tim?
I wouldn't say announcements.
No, there's a report that's included in the agenda, so yes, that's kind of self-explanatory.
That's right. That's fine.
Okay. Any commissioner reports or comments, Tim?
I'll make a comment. I had the opportunity to be part of a live burn today at the Canale Training Center. I was fitted by the chief and some firefighters there that helped me put on full gear that fitted me. And I have a huge, it's a firsthand appreciation of what they have to go through. About a 20 pound pack with the air pack, the technology in the air packs. You have gear that's very self-restricting. And you have buckles, 5 on the mask, 2 on the jacket, 3 on the around the waist, and all these. You have to have and situational awareness and ability to move throughout a burning building covered in smoke while you're wearing gloves that are like trying to type with catcher's mitts on. I mean, this was it's a lot of gear. It takes a lot of training. Alarm goes off every time you stand still, so that your team members know that you're okay, and then imagine that going into a house you have no idea what the layout is, other than the things that you carry with you in normal day to day, like the size of a stairway or things that you might know from your experience. But my takeaway was that it's not just it's not any one thing. It's lots of the experience and the training, so that these things are muscle memory. So when we're spending money on things like thermal cameras, which make trying to find people in these find out where the heat's coming from, find out where your team members are. It was a real eye-opening experience, and my hat's off. And I have a new appreciation for the training that they go through, so that they can keep Ventnor safe. All that gear has to be on in 90 seconds. It took me about 20 minutes to get geared up, and even then, it was a difficult task. So I want to thank all the members of firefighters and the other team members that were there from Brigantine and Margate. It doesn't come, these things don't happen by accident. We get to someplace in Ventnor in 5 minutes or less, mostly less, because of that training, and they know what they're doing. So thank you for that, Chief.
Good job. I got to see a little bit of that action just the other night. We had a small fire right on Ventnor Avenue there. It was a garage fire, so I saw Chief and his team doing what they do. You're right; they do it seamless.
Yeah,
they do it like they're like you and I walking down the street.
The Cascade compressor that keeps air to these guys when they need it, and the tanks are always full. They were in a burn there that should have taken 45 minutes, and they used most of their air in 15 minutes because of the strenuous activity that's going on, upstairs. Crawling, finding, getting the hose unkinked and ready to use on the second floor while it's pulled up there. All those things that you you don't really think about, but they're doing it because they've been trained to do it. So it was a real eye opener. It's not just gear. It's keeping you alive.
Good stuff. All right. I don't really have anything. We talked about all my public work stuff tonight. So you know what's going on with everything being built. Hopefully by 9 o'clock tonight, Wellington Avenue is open to traffic, and we no longer have to, the neighbors in that area don't have to suffer through the detour We thank them for their patience with all of us driving through there. Those roads took a beating. I'm going to bet Little Rock Avenue is going to be on our list to pave in the near future because that took a significant beating. And I think we're going to keep some stop signs on Burke down there. I think that, did we just pop them up for the detour, Tim? Is that what we did?
I believe that was just for the detour, but they make sense there. You're right.
Yeah, it slows people down. And I think the residents of was it Waterview?
Waterview.
They appreciated that. And I think it did help. So, all right, that's all I have. We need a motion to open up to public to speak about anything they would rather talk about instead of us talking for a while.
Motion to open public comment.
I'll second. Roll call. Or all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, Jim, if you could ask everyone in the public if they have anything to comment on.
Anybody from the public wishes to speak on any items, please make yourself known within Zoom by raising your hand or within the chat feature and you'll be recognized.
None?
Nope, I do not see anyone.
Okay. With that, I'll ask for a motion to close public.
Motion to close public session.
Second. All in favor? Aye. And a motion for adjournment. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks again, Jim. Good job.
Thanks, everybody. Weekend, everyone.
Stay safe.
Weekend.